Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, and it is a Thursday night, the 20th of January, 2011. Everything seems to be moving pretty fast. We got a great snowstorm here in our area. Hey, great to be with you tonight all over, local areas like, Boulder City, Nevada, and then throughout the satellite listeners and internet radio listeners, and for all those archiving, that is, pulling down the messages. Today, the genetics of God, the genetics of God in the soul of man. And it looks like we had a little bit of a difficulty here, but we got it. We think we got it all taken care of now. Yes, sir. Are we here? You got it now, though? Great. I sure can.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I didn't hear anything, so
we'll try this
again.
Great, thanks. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We're on a Thursday night, the 20th of July. Well, January, not July. It's definitely not July here because we've got 6 inches of snow. It's pouring down all over the place. And we may have had a little interruption in the beginning of the show because we've had to switch computers tonight. No big problem. We just had to make sure the connections were working. So if you had a little delay or a little interruption in the beginning, that's okay. That's on our part, not yours. Tonight, the genetics of God in the soul of man. Now, this is going to be in contrast to Michael Dowd and the evolving universe in a redesign, in a reframing, in a re-everything. There is a new definition of God, Christ, virgin birth, death, everything. When it comes to a man named Michael Dowd, who claims to have been to a charismatic Pentecostal college where he said that he got the baptism spoke in tongues, but as I'm reading the book, thank God for evolution, I don't see the experiential relationship with the living Christ. Now, that's what it's all about. So if you know me and you know what we're doing here, it is bringing out the contrast, and there is a vast contrast. Listen, if you go to the doctor and you do have leukemia, if you have leukemia, you don't want him to redefine it, deny it, reject it, and just simply call it linguine. If you have cancer and you go to the doctor and he says you do and you actually do, you don't want him to redefine it, deny it, reframe it, redesign the terminology to make it feel and sound better by telling you that you've got caramel. Caramel's good. I've got a big piece of fresh caramel here locally. And let me tell you something, that doesn't change what's really true. So when we jump into this tonight, it's about the exchanging of the glory of God for, well, creation, for exchanging the truth of God for a lie. It's all there in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We've been warned in so many different ways by the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus himself, concerning the end of days, the biggest, broadest ramping up of spiritual counterfeits and spiritual confusion the world has ever known. Now, what I'm going to get into tonight involves ultimately its connection to spirit-guided globalism. That is, Luciferic globalism as we define it. Some will see it as a good thing. Obviously, we're going to say, man, it is the greatest deception human history has ever experienced since the fall in that garden. Well, welcome to all of you listening from, well, local city like Boulder City, Nevada, and all those by satellite. And listen, by satellite, you're able to write to us, snail mail, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 4465. And we get mail in, and we get folks that write us and send us notes and tell us things. And we've even had dear folks send us a beautiful shirt at Christmas time that, just really out of Canada. A dear person has written, and I got today, I began to read, they are giving out specifications on super soldiers, and I'm going to take a look at it and maybe bring it up next week sometime. Out of France, I want to say hello to our friend out there, Sam, and glad to have folks listening all around the world. As you're listening right now, if you're a believer in Christ, one of the great things you can do, pray for us. You realize that we have no commercials, no products to sell, things like that. How do we do it all? Well, just simply a little support tab on shatterthedarkness.net website. Just that little square box, and it says support, and that's where we need your help. And by February 1st, we're really going to need your help, because when it comes to the radio project here, the live radio project, we're going to need to see the door open wide again, because by the end of January, radio funds, as we know it, will run out. So we're covered till then. We got time. God has been good to move on hearts, and we are grateful. Those, and specifically two individuals, we have not forgotten you. You are prayed for and dear to our hearts. Thank you for all of you that have helped out in this way. But in 2011, and you look at all that we do, and those of you that know us well as believers, well, we just simply say, if you want to really invest, if you really want to help, if what you're hearing and what you see on the website and all the teachings and courses and materials, they're all free. Literally already this month, 100,000 downloads in up to 80, 90 countries of the world. So it's going out everywhere, but we need to leave it out there absolutely free, because we know that we can pray for, out of thousands upon thousands upon thousands, that God would grant us about 100 people. And we have about 25 right now that bring monthly support in. So, and you know, as I'm talking about this, this is more than I ever really do. And all we say at the end of the programs is, and we really, really mean this, keep us in prayer and remember us in support. That's how we're able to be out here. I'm glad my wife has joined me. She's got two podcasts up. She's new. We're going to beef up her volume level so you can hear a little better in the next one. And she has one coming out tomorrow. You can always link to it from my site. You can become a member of her. It's just Shelley Dizdar's podcast. And she was excited today, coming to me, telling me that there are friends in Canada, in Europe, and in Australia, and of course, United States, that are now downloading and listening. And she's getting emails and notes and even information or contact on Facebook. Boy, I have so much contact on Facebook, and I want to say out loud, I've got about 9 people that I need to call back. A dear sister in London, in England, that I need to get back to, in Canada and across the United States. Please realize that when I'm able to, we're talking, hours of time, and we do local counseling, and we do local evangelism, and we do local investigation of satanic ritual abuse and everything else. We do a lot of radio interviews, and we were on last night, and the link to that site is still up, and I don't know if they have a MP3 up or not, but it was great to be on a site that was a paranormal site, and they allowed us to share, and it seemed that everything went over good, and we've gotten contact since then. So those who have contacted and know that I'm going to be calling you, yes, I am, and the emails were about 90% getting to those, and then to the Facebook friends, again, it's just going to be notes here and there. We have conferences coming up, too, that's going to take some time, and that's in Connecticut. New England, here we come, March 25th, 26th, 27th, and that is called C-S-E-E, and there is a little picture of it up, and as soon as they give me the details about place and hotel and cost, that'll be up. And then there's the politics of religion, April 1st and 2nd. Going to be historic, and it's going to be big. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Click on the picture, that we have there on the website, The Politics of Religion, and you'll be able to go right to their site and begin to sign up and get ready for that. Hope to see you. We've got other invitations coming now from other places and even doing some kind of live teaching up there. From here locally, some kind of live, not so much a webinar, but an audio-anar, if I can call it that, that's going to be live up there. And we'll tell you about that when it's all defined, but it's in St. Paul in Minnesota. So we have a lot of places to be able to go this year. We're looking forward to getting to Europe sooner or later. And we're definitely still plotting and planning the Mayan Temple event. And we will be telling you about that down the road also. Tonight, we're dealing with, out of the series, The Quest to Rebuild the Tower of Babel. The Quest to Rebuild the Tower of Babel. Now, are they constructing a technological and scientific Tower of Babel? On the one hand, yes, in transhumanism, I see it. In Richard Dawkins' humanistic atheism, I see the pride element there. But in the New Age, the broadest spiritual alternative to what the Spirit of God, what the Word of God brings in Revelation, that is growing and out there, that is probably the most influential from the top down in cultures and society, the new movement out there that we're going to address tonight, this evolving universe, capital E, literally capital U, where the universe now is God. God has been redefined. The universe is God. God is evolving. The universe is evolving. And in order to receive the joy and to know, to be set free and everything else, we've got to get in tune with this evolving universe, according to Michael Dodd. Michael Dodd seems like a nice guy. I think that as I have read over and look over and continue to do so, Einstein would have been a neat guy to talk to at a Starbucks if he would have went. I wonder how he would have assessed and analyzed that. I think that Stephen Hawking is an incredibly brilliant man, but yet is missing the central issue. And my prayers are there for Stephen Hawking. Now, as we did deal with Ray Kurzweil yesterday in The Transcendent Man, it's going to be unleashed as a documentary in New York and many other places and places around the world. And so there is this quest in biology, genetics, technology, invention, and his personal belief that, we're going to eventually establish, create, gain immortality. I don't understand. I'm not sure that he's calculated everything. I don't think one brain, no matter how smart, can calculate all the issues. Once again, the absence of God, the absence of Christ, the absence of the assurance of eternal life, the absence of the realization of the real spiritual battle. Why is there an ominous, dark presence around the world? Now, when I talk to the dear friend fella at the radio interview last night, when there was a discussion with him over darkness. And these are guys that have been out doing the ghost hunting and paranormal research and engaging things. And it's very clear from him that, and that's why he brought up some of the questions about the presence of darkness and that feeling in the air. Well, it's because the things are coming down to the end. One of the last questions asked to me last night on that live radio interview was about the end of days. You better believe it. I do believe that there is a massive strike coming, a catastrophic event coming. I think a lot of folks are talking about it, but redefining that issue. And then there is waiting, cloaked in supernatural secrecy, waiting in the wings, Antichrist, Homo Satanas, a false prophet, a regime, connected, multinational. It's, well, in my opinion, it's in place. It is prepared, and it's wanting to make its move. By the sovereign finger of God, the placement of a restrainer, nothing's going to happen till God removes the restrainer. Everything will move faster than anything in all of human history. These are, my friends, the end of days. If you're listening tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And again, hundreds of things to get MP3s and so forth. We always encourage you to link it up, send it out, put the site out all over. If any of you have the ability to send it into China, send it into Russia, send it into other nations like that, we'd love for you to send the links. And that's part of the missionary endeavor and mission that we have as we're praying and as we pray over all those cities and all those places and all those nations. God has a great, and it's global in scope, and it involves you listening right now. God so loved this world. There is a passion, there is a presence, there is a power, there is an answer. There is a new heaven and a new earth. There is a glorified human race all coming down the road. And yes, there is peace. There is the cessation of radical evil. It's all coming down. Found in the Prince of Peace. Thursday night, January the 20th. 2011, the genetics of God in the salvation or the soul of man. Do we understand? I love that verse in Hebrews that says for us to not neglect so great a salvation. Don't neglect so great a salvation. I mean, the physics of salvation, it fixes the sin issue, ultimately. It fixes the Satan issue, fixes the death issue, fixes the separation and barrier issue, fixes the issue of hell. An eternal loss. So the work that was done is God's fix. It's redemption. It's restoration. It's renewal. And it's this glorious thing, salvation. It involves the living God through Christ coming into your life. Your human spirit that is, well, if you're lost and you don't know God, that is dead to God. Now, your spirit is alive in the sense that you're alive. And the other spirits can contact and get involved. And you can become spiritual connected to the wrong sources. That's what they're seeking. But please understand that what you've been created for, the Creator has come for you. He is the Redeemer. Yeah, He walked on water. All of creation bowed to Him, responded to Him, obeyed Him. He had a full authority, infinite authority over creation, over sin, Satan, death, hell, all of it. And it's all because of one thing, and I want you to hear me clearly. Because He loved you and loves you, and pursues you. And it may be in this 1 hour that we have tonight, providential, a divine appointment that God is knocking at your door, summoning you, seeking to draw you, and I hope that's true. I literally hope that's true about you. So let me just say tonight as we start this, I've got some things I need to read as I go over this tonight because of this, well, evolving universe campaign, because it's presented in a passionate words like brilliant and awesome and beautiful and fantastic. See, again, words contain meaning, but if you reduce them from their original meaning, if you deny their original meaning, if you reframe and redesign and come up with an entire different thing, then when they say God, Christ, cross, sin, Satan, and death, it doesn't mean the same thing that when the Spirit of God through Isaiah and David and Jeremiah and Paul and Matthew, it's not the same. And that's all about being deceptive. That's all about seduction. Once again, the candy is offered, but laced with a poison that cannot be immediately seen or tasted. But once tasted, it can be deadly. So I'm going to read to you a little bit of some of the things that this individual speaks about. And I got to tell you that there are some claims, and I'm going to mention 11 of them quickly, then I'll go into them one by one. The claims of spiritual experience without Christ. That's number one. Number two, spiritual epiphany by Buddhism, by some kind of encounter with universe. Number three, the question in this movement and for Michael Dodd is, where is Jesus? Number four, where is the revelation of God, both general and special revelation? Number five, what about death? Is it really a good thing? What about number six, heaven and hell, issues that have been blotted out from this movement? And what about number seven, rejection of biblical truths and or reframing them? Number eight, denial of the virgin birth. Number nine, denial of the resurrection. Number 10, denial of the real existence of a devil. Number 10, denial of sin and reconstructing or redesigning or reframing and using the phrase our unchosen selves or inherited proclivities instead of temptation. So we're going to take a look at all of that tonight and tell you that there is, I'm telling you, massively, not brilliance here, not something good here. We have something that seems sweet and like candy, and it's presented as an exciting thing, but it is as deadly as the spiritual principles that Aleister Crowley taught. And we're going to get into that. I want to welcome again newcomers to the show tonight, to the archives, also to those coming into Facebook, just by saying, listen, this is Russ Dizdar, just an individual that loves God, that knows Christ, Christ that lives in me. And I want to tell you tonight, because I'm talking about a fellow who's a book author. There's a website out there. I'm not even going to give it out. But a website that he has, it's a pretty brilliant website. That would be his term. Michael, if he ever gets to hear this, it is, again, as I'm reading you, as a believer, as one in whom the Spirit of God lives, as one who knows the real living Christ, not a fake, de-deified symbol, there's grave deception there. There is there's a sadness in reading in some of your materials where you had to think through your exchanging those biblical principles, those things, and reconstructing, and your passion to make it sound good. But I'm going to say there's some words you need to think in terms of rejection, denial, reduction, reframing, redesigning. This is very important because it's part of the spiritual presence and spiritual agenda and spiritual operating presence of finite fallen spirits. And I call them the New Age spirits. In Timothy 4:1, the Spirit of God, uncreated, eternal, says that in the end of days, planos, seducing, imposter spirits will come. Their goal, now listen to what God has said, Michael. God has said that they will come to bring deception to many. And it's going to be involving leading people to reject Christ, deny Christ, reduce Christ, reframe Christ, redefine or redesign Christ. Anything but the real Christ. Fallen finite spirits, all behind the evolution of the world that's going on right now, the spiritual evolutionary doctrine of some kind of spiritual evolution in the consciousness of humanity coming. See, there's folks in the world of technology, invention, and science where this spiritual revelation has now got down into the concepts and the drive for an evolutionary process. So the evolution of knowledge can lead us to immortality. The evolution that is occurring among humanity will lead to homo lumos, homo deity. And there's the evolution of the universe. But again, who's behind that evolution? And what will it be? And does anybody realize that it involves the utter rejection of, denial of, reduction of, reframing of, and redesigning of God, Christ, scriptures, salvation, the cross, prayer, who the devil is, end time events, and even the second coming, and the real new age to come, the millennium, and the coming new heaven and new earth. Now, to the environmentalists out there, Michael Dodd will appeal to you. To those that have maybe rejected from a distance what was like hard shell, Christianity, where you might have saw hypocrisy even. That's a clear possibility. But I'm not pointing to that because that's not the Savior. That's not the cross. That's not the revelation of God. The revelation of God, John 3:16, John 3:17, that is the overwhelming premise. God so loved the world, you, so totally loved you, that the monogenesis, the only begotten, the one and only, Christ, this now is God in human flesh, sent into the world to save, not to condemn. Now that's my premise. As bad as the world is, and for all those that think, judgment should come. Everybody deserves judgment. Well, not only does America, so does Russia, so does Iran, so does Venezuela, so does, you can go to a lot of places. Look in Russia where their leaders in the past, the great purge of Russia. There's a lot of judgment to go around, but it's in the hands of God. And if you read James, you're going to read where mercy triumphs over judgment. Let God deal with the judgment. He'd rather that no one be lost. That's the passion of God. That's the bulumai. That is the determined counsel of God that none would be lost, that all would come to metanoia, to change, to repentance, to turning around. And for you listening right now, a change in everything could occur. If you're a believer, grab hold of the great salvation you have. And all of its, matter of fact, we have on our website a thing called Dynamic Discipleship. I don't know if you've ever clicked there or went there or not. Someone wrote me on Facebook just the other day, said that they've heard some things, and they have walked away from some of the Zeitgeist and other counterfeit movements that are going on out there. Come to Christ. And so I sent them this basic stuff. Here's where we got. I think we got about 9 one-hour teaching things with materials and resources. Here they are. How to know Jesus Christ and the salvation he gives. Number 2, how to know you are saved and assurance of that salvation. Number 3, how to know what happened at salvation. Number 4, how to know the presence and power of God. Number 5, how to get into the Word of God and allow it to get into you. Number 6, I think it is, how to memorize the Word of God. Number 7, how to have a daily meeting time with God. Number 8, how to worship. Now, there's going to be more and more. We got so many of them up right now. It's good for anybody, but if you're someone that wants to really grow and know the depth, when I say salvation, you've got to understand how much it means, the power of the blood of Christ. It means, listen, the genetics of God in the salvation of man, of you. What do I mean by that? Let me say something here first before I get into the, well, the counterfeit and bringing exposure to Michael Dodd and the evolving universe as he calls it, as fact, as divine revelation. And this is so horribly off the tracks to whitewash it, to paint it, to look like it is on the tracks, it still just doesn't work. The genetics of God. Let me tell you something. Out of the book of Peter, chapter 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't know if you've read this lately or not, but in reference to the divine power of God, here's what it says. The Spirit of God says, according to his, God's divine power. Now, this is good. This God, and then you've got dunamis, the expressed, felt, operating power, according to God's divine power, has given to us, and that's perfect tense. It's abiding in you if you're born again. Everything we need that pertains to what? Zoe, life, that is the Christ-like life, life in God, and godliness, eusebia, which is the ability to be devoted and the idea of holiness and getting close to and getting the likeness, the image of God inside. Now, this is what God has given to everyone who's come to Christ. In the simplest of terms, the living Christ, the exact same one that died there on the cross, buried, rose from the dead as prophesied, as he said he would, well, ascended, yet inseparable eternally, one with the Spirit of God. When a person receives salvation, you know what you're doing? It is the living Christ. He is actually coming into your life. It is relational. It is all about relational. It deals with all the problems, but it's relational. It is relational in the sense that the living Christ comes into your life. Your spirit that was dead to God, cut off from God, is now made instantly alive. The Spirit of God comes in. The Spirit of Christ comes in. Romans chapter 8 says this: if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You either are born of the Spirit of God, you either know God by the indwelling of the Spirit of God of Christ, the living Christ. Jesus said it clearly, John's Gospel 17, he said that I, referring to himself, that I myself would be in them. When you really come to understand John's Gospel chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it is clearly the unveiling of the triune God dwelling in you. If we love Jesus, we'll put his teachings into practice, and the Father, and he, inseparable, will dwell in us. The Spirit of God is going to be given to us at the moment of salvation. And so when we talk about the genetics of God, which I'm going to get to in this next verse, it's the idea of being birthed. It's the idea, and I'm going to bring this out clearly tomorrow night when we deal with glorification and the physics of God, and the concept of the seed of God. See, there's no existing seed people out there. You do not have the seed of God in you until you receive Christ as Lord and Savior. That's clear in the book of 1 John. And if you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, the seed of God remains in you, which is the operating presence that brings freedom from the old sin nature's presence and power. And, well, let's go over some of the factors. With the living Christ coming in, you being born of the Spirit of God, birthed of God, the seed of God coming into you, and that's, if I can use biblical terminology like I will tomorrow, that actually uses the terminology that involves genetics, birthing, as far as humans, procreating. It has everything to do with birthing. And then the actual, listen now, nature, presence, power, everything Christ did at the cross will be brought into your life. Yes, according to Romans 5, you are justified. You are declared as if you have never sinned. You are washed and cleansed because of the sinless sin bearer who took your sin, conquered it, and as you receive him as a free gift, as absolutely a free gift, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Well, that's the gift of God. To all who receive him, to all who believe in him. That's in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. That's what it's all about. So what we're talking about is that God is at the cross, through Christ, provided total forgiveness of sin, a declaration of sinlessness, and the power to break the code of sin and implant the new nature. A nature, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. A new nature, dynamic, by the Spirit of God, operative in you, that's going to lead you and teach you and guide you to throw out of your life any and all sin practices, since you now have freedom from and power over and total forgiveness. If you want to talk about freedom, if you want to talk about the joy of forgiveness, it includes absolute freedom from and power over that sin issue. And then ultimately in the glorification, well, there were that's where ultimate sinlessness, no one will sin from that point on. If you do now, 1 John 1:9 deals with that issue. If you stumble now, and if you have stumbled, stop. Don't sit around. Time doesn't heal. Jesus does. Time doesn't forgive. Jesus does. And he wills to do so. He wills that you come immediately to deal with what is against now, the new nature that's inside of you. So if you've been born of the Spirit of God, Christ lives in you, the very nature, the idea of DNA, the idea of genetics, the idea of the life of God is inside of you. Now again, 2 Peter 1:3. This is God dunamis, divine power, has given, this is perfect tense, it's from the moment of salvation with the abiding result that here it is right now, operative, everything about life, zoe, everything about godliness, devotion to God, through our knowledge of Christ, who called us by his own glory and goodness, virtue. Now, what I want to take you to is the next verse. Now hear this, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. And by these, the promises that God made that would be fulfilled in Christ, listen to this says now, that you might be and partakers. Now, kurinos is a word meaning the idea of fellowship. A literal partaker, listen, of the divine nature. It doesn't mean pantheism. It doesn't mean you become God. It means that the actual, listen, are you a temple of the Spirit of God or not? Are you now the temple, the naos of God? Is your body now the temple of God, the Holy Spirit? Yes. Does the living Christ live in you? Yes. Does a new nature dwell as the primary living operative presence in your life? Yes. Is Satan's rights broken off? Yes. Is hell's punishment done with? Yes. What about dying and being separated from God forever? Is that broken? Yes. Is the gift of eternal life dwelling in you? Yes. Is the deposit that guarantees what is to come dwelling in you? Yes. Dear Christian, go back to first chapter of Ephesians, and upon believing, you were given the Spirit of God, who is the deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So that when in the twinkling of an eye and that flash, the mortal puts on immortality, that's only going to happen where the deposit of eternal life has been placed. Where the genetics of God, per se, have been placed. Where this gift of eternal life. You either have this or you don't have this. Now, there are people, believers, that have accepted Jesus knowing that they wanted forgiveness. They know they wanted to know God. They felt convicted by the Spirit of God. But they don't know what the rest of the Scripture says about this great salvation. They don't know what the Scripture shows about this great and awesome salvation. And that's why I'm saying we need to take a look at this, well, great and awesome salvation. That's why we need to take a look at, you know, what it is that God gives us. So it's vital that you and I do this in our layering more biblical truth, more of what the Spirit of God says, you already have in Christ. In Christ, all the promises of God. In Christ, a new nature. In Christ, the operating presence of the Spirit of life in Christ. Do you realize that if you can really come to appropriate what it is God has given you, like Romans 6 says, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Why? Well, it just explained that you're dead to sin and that you're alive to God. That's because it's true. Appropriating or reckoning it true in your life, what is that? That's accepting it as true. And by accepting and believing, then the operative power of that truth Well, the power that should becomes operative within you. That word becomes operative within you. Now, that's found in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, that those who believe the word, not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, that is at work in those who believe. Now, if you haven't believed Christ, it doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter all the sin and all the stuff that you've done and all everything else. If you're a person out there that says, I can't forgive myself, you're right. You didn't die on a cross as a sinless Savior. You can't forgive yourself. A psychologist can't declare it for you. And listen, Ray Kurzweil and the Transcendent Man won't help you. It's not going to be washed out of your genes through the splicing in of, new technologies. It's not going to be a nanobite. And it's not going to be Michael Dodd's evolving universe. The universe is not your savior. The universe is not God. The universe would tell Michael Dodd and tell those who are now worshiping created things, stop it. The heavens declare the glory of God. And creation knows that it's in decay and that destruction is coming. The so-called evolving universe is going to have an interruption because of the corruption, because of the satanic order, because of the end of days. You can read it in prophecy. It's all going to come down in fire. It's all going to melt the elements, all of it, for one reason. New heaven, new earth, by the hands of God. God is not the universe, Michael Dodd. And I think it's very important for anybody that is getting close to reading his material, please understand, the universe can't save you. The universe can point to God, like it says in Romans chapter 1. The universe evidences God's power, his invisible qualities, his nature, and so forth. The universe evidences, and it knows that it does. And the universe is sacred in the sense that God created it. Yes, it's his, not so much ours. It's been given. We live here. And nothing wrong with looking at all of it, studying it, and being completely blown away by the created order. Just wait till you get to the other side. What we see here is a grain of sand in comparison to what is invisible. Being born of the Spirit of God, being this new birth, this idea of the life of God coming into your spirit, coming into your soul, and the planting in. So many factors to this salvation. That's why Romans 6 tells believers, in the context of spiritual warfare, Satan doesn't want you to know the depth, the greatness of this. He wants you to neglect so great a salvation. He doesn't want to know that you're totally forgiven. He doesn't want you to know that Christ will never leave you or forsake you. He doesn't want you to know that indwelling you is the divine power of God. He doesn't want you to know that the sin nature has been rendered powerless and that you have a new nature that's dynamic and strong and that you can walk free and walk in Christ and grow more and more and more powerful and exhibiting the love of God in Christ. That you can know him experientially more and more and more and more and more. You know, draw near to God, God will draw near to you. That's an invitation to an experiential walk. Michael Dodd, as I read his book, Thank God for Evolution, let me say clearly and strongly that it is a massive, massive rejection of, denial of, reduction of, reframing of, and redesigning of God, of Christ, of the Scripture, of the created order, of the cross, of what salvation is, of what end times are, what sin is, what Satan is. It is a massive, massive. When one person gets deceived and believes the deceit, fully believes, then is moved by the presence that brought that deceit. Oh, they're going to promote it. They're going to promote it. And it's very tough to read this material without, on the one hand, feeling sad for Michael Dodd and those committed to this evolutionary capital U universe. I've got to go over some of the things that he shares. And I'm going to do that right now. And I don't want you to forget what I shared, though, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The promises of, listen, of God. You hear what I'm saying? The promises of God exceeding. You ever read that there? It's from that word megla, megos. The idea of greater is he who's in you, megos. This megos and this incredibly great and precious promise. They're dear. They're honorable. And it involves being, again, a partaker. A partaker of divine nature. Escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you read that? From there, from the foundation of the new life of God dwelling in the depth of your spirit, the depth of your soul, the depth of your will, your body itself now a temple, a holy, sacred temple, naos, of God. As a matter of fact, the Septuagint uses this word naos, this exact word, in reference to the Holy of Holies. See, the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament was a type, it was a shadow, it was proclaiming something. Because of the blood of Christ, your physical body, your life, has become the naos, the Holy of Holies, to where the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, the living personal presence of God, would dwell within. Because of the blood of Christ, total, listen to me, absolute, real, total sinlessness. The forgiveness is there, but also the declaration. Romans 5, have you not, as it says in Corinthians, become the righteousness of God in Christ? Don't base your theology on your failure or your lack of knowledge or your laziness. Get back to the Word of God. Let the Word of God become operative in you, and that only happens when you believe what it says. And here's my issue with a fellow named Michael Dodd. As I read his book, as I not only have downloaded it Kindle-wise, as I've researched his websites, as I've taken in information, watched videos, my friend out west, Tim, my dear brother, we've never met. Thank you for all the research. He sends me stuff. And he was very worried because this guy's claiming to come out of a Pentecostal college, claiming to have an experience where he spoke in tongues, languages, like in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, in the 70s and 80s where it was really, you know, moving there. It's everywhere now. Now, here's the issue. I want to give this warning. Charismatic gifts, all of them are being counterfeited today, and we need to know the difference. Can the dark side counterfeit the gift of tongues, speaking in other languages, glossiola, chapter 2 of the book of Acts, when in fulfillment of prophecy out of the Old Testament, the gift of languages was unleashed. And 18 dialects of people, you know, they heard them speaking the wonder of God, the praises of God in their own languages. So the gift unleashed in the spirit of the believers, glossiola. It's given definition to, and there's correction to this issue of this particular gift in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Read it over many, many times to get down what it says. This isn't going to be an hour on that issue, but what I want to do is tell you this. I have that gift, have it for, you know, over 30-some years. I have the gift of interpretation of these languages. I've used them in the body of Christ. So I'm experienced with them, and as a pastor 30 years in local churches, you know, we've seen this gift used, we've seen it misused, we've seen it unused, we've seen it spoken against, we've seen it overbalance, underbalance, all that kind of stuff. But we've also seen it in deliverance. There is a satanic counterfeit side to the giving of this. Demons can give a fake gift. Now, if you're a believer and you have that gift, please understand, if you're born of the Spirit of God and you know that you receive the gift of God, then move on from there. You know, if it's demonic and someone prays over you, then the demon that gives the fake counterfeit gifting can be dealt with. And every time we've cast out a demon where counterfeit tongues was operative, they could no longer speak in those languages. Well, they needed to seek the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, and if God, the Holy Spirit, then would give them that gifting, that's another issue. Now, I don't want to get into all that tonight. What I'm saying is, he sets up his book by telling everybody that it sounds like he keeps calling himself an evangelical Christian. Old evangelicals like Dwight L. Moody, now that's what we're talking about. Like Jonathan Edwards, like Jonathan Wesley, like George Whitfield. Now, those are the real evangelicals, strong believers, clothed in the Spirit of God, winning thousands of people to Christ, completely committed to the Word of God, and evidencing the fruit in their lives. And that was, evangelicalism was those committed to the evangel, the gospel, and getting the gospel out to the world. Now, that's real old evangelicalism. Now, when you see things today like Saddleback and Rick Warren and his failure to understand New Age doctrine being, as it always will, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a key factor in this today. All of this kind of attempt to bring redefinition, to bring in compromise, to bring in synchronicity, to bring in syncretism, listen, this is the work of Planos spirits, seducing imposters. Their goal isn't to come out like bloody ritual, you know, praise Satan type stuff. Their goal is to come out and make themselves look like the real thing, only redefining, reframing, redesigning, but with the same end result. Keeping people away from Christ, keeping people away from God. Now, when we deal with this and the concept of Michael Dodd's evolutionary universe, capital U, and when he talks about creation, he capitalizes it because he believes that the universe is God. He believes that creation is God. That's the failure of pantheism. That's the failure of, again, unleashing a finite God. The universe is finite. It's vast and it's beautiful and it's big and as awesome. It is finite in comparison to the infinite uncreated God who spoke it into existence, and the universe knows who its God is, and the universe knows its sentient. Romans chapter 8 reveals that it's sentient, that it's groaning, and it's waiting for the sons of God. It's waiting for the glorification. It's waiting for the return of Christ. It's waiting for the new heaven and new earth, not an evolution to a bigger, broader, fancier universe that's tied into the Luciferic evolution of society and the Luciferic evolution of humanity to the Homo Lumos or Homo Deity. There's a connection there. I'm going to mention a few things quickly here with 7 minutes left. In the book, Thank God for Evolution, there is this kind of, the claims of spiritual experience that Michael makes all through his book that I've read so far, but without Jesus. Without the centrality, anybody that's born of the Spirit of God, anybody that is filled with the Spirit of God, man, they are folks that talk about Christ, talk about walking with the Lord. See, it's 35 years or more now, it's been a relationship, Michael. It's something that I have with the living Christ, not a symbol, not a construct, not some kind of, no, the real living Christ. Do you know him? Number two. Michael talks about a spiritual epiphany, but it comes by those who are into Buddhism. Those who, now, I come from a background of Buddhism. Buddha was no savior. He never claimed to be. And never led me to God. He's dead. He's gone. Number three, I keep asking the question as I'm reading through everything Michael is unveiling, where's Jesus? And then he does what David Icke does and kind of connects the virgin birth and the resurrection and the cross events to old Nephilim or occult or demon gods and goddesses. That's literally almost, I mean, that's really like the level of blasphemy, Michael. It's really off the charts. And I don't understand how someone who tries to act and look like you're a unifier could come out with such nice language while you're stripping, de-deifying, pulling down the cross, reconstructing, and bringing nothing but total reductionism. And there's a presence behind that. There's number four, where is the revelation of God? Well, God is redefined in Michael's understanding as the universe, and the universe is evolving, God is evolving, and more just like a spiritual, it's New Age spirituality. The Lion King concept. What about death, number five? Well, death's a good thing, according to Michael Dodd and his wife, Connie. Death is a good thing. Death is, though God sees death as an enemy, death came in because of sin. Jesus died to conquer death. Death is destroyed in Christ. Glorification is coming as the ultimate experiential victory over death. But in Michael's concept of New Age spiritism, in the seeming knowledge of an evolutionary, universe, that death is a good thing. Number six, heaven and hell. Well, they're bled out of everything. They're pushed out of everything. You know why? Because Michael is really a Unitarian, Universalist. And all of his speaking engagements that I looked at today is all those churches. He talks about going to churches. But those are the churches that deny, reduce, reject, reframe every single concept of who God is, who Christ is, who the Spirit of God is, what salvation is, what the end of days are all about, what the second coming of Christ is all about. And again, it goes on. There's a denial of the virgin birth, a reframing. There's a denial of the resurrection and a reframing. There is a denial of the existence of the devil. The devil is just a psychological id of Freud. And where is sin? Well, sin, there's no sin. What it is inherited proclivities of our unchosen self. Now, I've barely been able to get into this, and I've been reading over the Evolutionary Manifesto, Our Role in the Future Evolution of Life, as they put it, and it's all about reframing. And here's two factors. Number one, it's not going to save you, doesn't lead you to God, but actually leads you away from. Number two, the spiritual operating presence involved in Michael Dodd's life and in all of his teaching and in all of the material I've read connected to him is the exact same principles that an ascended master called the Tibetan that in the 1930s fused with Alice Bailey dictating a book telling that they had to reframe, deny, redesign. That was the way they would infiltrate the church. You got to know the difference. You can know Jesus right now. Hey, listen, we've run out of time. The music is here. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.